Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
If I look extra defeated today, it's because today at school, a kid said, "You look like the type of dude that when he's ready to leave a restaurant, he says, 'Let's skedaddle.'" And of course, that led to the rest of the students calling me the skedaddler, which then, of course, led them to play this sound effect anytime I got up from my chair to walk around the classroom. I think I'm gonna go and skedaddle off to therapy now.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, March 4th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, lovers of basketball, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matapsha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Thanks to everybody for joining us live on YouTube. Thanks to all the podcast listeners. You listen to us? Now we want to hear from you.
Nice.
Yeah, we are asking you to fill out a quick survey about you and your podcast habits by going to theathletic.com/survey24. This is fun. Three lucky entrants or entries will win $100 worth of Amazon gift cards just by filling this thing out. So whether you're a longtime listener or a new one, we want your feedback. Go to theathletic.com/survey24. That's theathletic.com/survey24. The link is in the show notes. Click away. I believe it takes like 10 minutes. And again, you'll automatically be entered into a $100 gift card from Amazon. What would you buy?
Well, I'm going to enter my name to try and read these. I don't know if we can read them, but I want it so bad.
No, I believe it's anonymous, Tass. That's okay. Why we want your real feedback. So yeah. Thanks in advance for filling that out.
Yeah.
We had a wedgie. Little Sunday wedgie here from Trey Jones of the Spurs. And watch this one. The floater slash layup going to the opposite side of the rim. Very gentle touch there from Jones. And it had been a while since we'd had one, so that's good. First one in March. 43 on the season. Pace back up to 60. Really good stuff.
Extremely rare. The shot taken from one side, it lands on the other side of the rim, and it was like a three-footer, sort of a layup, sort of a teeny floater. We're on pace, baby.
We also had a legend.
Yes, rare stuff.
This weekend. Rare stuff. I forgot to grab the clip for you. We don't actually, you know, count them when we're counting the wedgies, but still, a legend. Very, very rare. That is where the ball sits on the back of the rim.
Check our X's. It's on X or tweets, whatever you want.
We had one at our Thursday pickup run.
I can't believe it.
It was wild to see in person. Awesome. First legend I've ever seen in person.
Wow, interesting.
Right? I mean, we get wedgies from time to time, but not a legend. That was because Jonathan, with the softest touch I've ever seen.
It must have bounced on the back of the rim four times before it sat down.
Yeah. And then I was off, so I'm scrambling to get my camera, and somebody jumped right up and took it away. We're like, what are you doing? We're going to document this. Wow. Just take a photo with it. But it was gone before I could get to my phone.
You have guys with ups getting up there.
We got some big guys, you know, to battle TK there in the post. Let's get into weekend winners. We'll do losers later. We'll do tweet of the night later. I know there's a lot here. We'll do a couple rounds at least of winners. Tass, Trey, you're going to get started here. Your big winner of the weekend.
How dare you.
I know. I'm so
sorry. How dare you. An easy winner of the weekend, the Boston Celtics. 11 straight wins, including two Beantown blowouts against West playoff teams. This weekend, they went Dune mode. Atreides! 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 The three-pointers were insane for Boston this weekend. 21 for 43 against the Mavericks on Friday. Luka postgame said, they're basically all lasers. If you make a mistake defensively, they'll make you pay from three. The Warriors made a lot of mistakes defensively on Sunday afternoon, so Boston went 25 for 49 against Golden State. Seemed like a fake score to me. We were doing the Skyhawks broadcast. Didn't get to watch this one live. So when I checked the score, it was the third quarter, and it was 99 to 48.
Yeah.
I saw that on my app as well.
What?
I was like, that has to be wrong. There's no way they're up 50 in the third. But yeah, it was true because they had an incredible first half.
Celtics scored 82 in the first half. That's a record for them since they started counting halves. I loved that stat.
Whoa.
Since they started counting halves.
Since we started counting halves.
The most points they've scored. And it was actually over after the first quarter. You know, first half leads oftentimes not real. This one was quite real because the Warriors came out and decided to just leave Jaylen Brown open from three. He hit a three on the very first possession of the game, hit five in the first quarter, on the way to a 23-1 run that my dad called the Boston Blitz. And I actually thought that was pretty smooth,
nice.
Steve. This is the Celtics' third 50-point victory of the season.
Yeah, they're good.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
I looked into the stats. 10-0 when they make 20 or more three-pointers. I actually would have thought they had more than 10 games with 20 or more threes the way they shoot it. So I went even deeper and looked at their winning percentage when they shoot 40% or better from three. 26-1.
Okay, there you go.
Literally unbeatable if they're hitting threes, and they were hitting threes. You might have even thought that the Warriors would have a chance on Sunday since there was no Porzingis to take advantage of his height, his inside presence against Draymond Green, but it did not matter. Boston is on fire right now. 11 straight wins. 11 straight wins, and they're blowing the teams out every single night.
Yeah, and then a funny exchange. Obviously, you probably saw it on Twitter/X. You know, Steve Kerr on this decision to, hey, let's sag off of Jaylen Brown. He's asked about it after the game. You try different things. You have to pick your matchups. Jaylen Brown retweeting it with, more teams should take this strategy. Jaylen Brown loving the space to operate. And yeah, not only him hitting five, but everybody else contributing. And like the guys, like the starters of the Celtics played like, you know, generally 20 to 25 minutes each because it was a blowout. They're all like plus 40, plus 35, plus 39, plus 30. Like the plus minus is insane in limited minutes.
I guess that's a good Kerr move. I mean, he doesn't hit that many threes. It's hard to say because this Boston Celtics team is going to win if they hit a lot of threes, and then the stats on the other side. Even if they're not hitting those threes, they can still win. It was a weird weekend for the Warriors because they're on a road trip. They're in New York, and they're trying to get to Toronto. Problems with the plane, so they end up leaving New York at 5 a.m. So they get to Toronto at 7 a.m. and have to play that night. And Steve Kerr's calling timeout after timeout in the first 6 minutes. You guys aren't ready to play. You're not ready to play. They end up winning that game. And then they go to Boston. They're 13-3 in their last 16 before Boston, but that is a shellacking in every single way for the Boston Celtics that I think is going to be the only team that wins 60 games this year. It's going to be, you know, fairly close for OKC and Minnesota, possibly for OKC, most likely. But this is the team. This is a team that you kind of say, like you say about other players, like you'd say about Embiid. It doesn't really matter what they do in the regular season until you get to the playoffs, because that's what it feels like with the Celtics. You got Tatum in year seven here. Is he Michael Jordan going to win in his first title in year seven? They have Drew Holiday instead of Marcus Smart. They have Kristaps Porzingis in an era where players don't get hurt as much, so he's learning to take care of his body. A new Derek White, year eight for Jaylen Brown. They're scorching. They're just scorching.
Yeah, they need to just worry about staying healthy through the final 20 games or so. Like, no major injury to any of their guys. And then, yeah, it's finals or bust. It's championship or bust, honestly, for this team. Because they look that great on both sides of the ball. They've got their top seven, but then they get all these contributions from other guys lower down on the bench. So, yeah, we've been saying this for weeks now that it feels like they're a lock. They should be. Maybe avoid the Miami Heat, who are, you know, turning into the old Heat here. Could see the Heat get up into like a 4 or 5 seed. That potentially could lead to a second round matchup with Boston. But look, they can't be scared of them. And if they have to go through them, they should be favored and need to, you know, exercise those demons from last year, unless Caleb Martin can't miss a three again in that weird 7-game series. But yeah, Boston, obvious winner. And not even to gloss over the win prior, which was an ass-kicking
to
the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, they handed Mavericks pretty easily.
Yeah.
Good point from Ziggy and the Stream team. Just give them the Maurice Podoloff trophy already. It's a wrap. That's a thing. Best regular season record. You're getting a trophy nowadays.
Jeez.
Ooh, yeah.
We hand them out to
the
everything.
Big Mo.
Yeah.
Big
All right.
Mo. It's like the President's Trophy in the NHL. I think that's what it's called.
Is it?
I think so.
The winning, like the winning record in the regular season.
Yeah, the Podoloff in the NBA. Interesting.
Okay, so Celtics, an obvious winner of the weekend. Tass, what about you?
I'm going with the 76ers because they did have hope of knocking off the Celtics once upon a time when Embiid was in the lineup. But since then, their offense has been poor. So they decided, you know what, Kyle Lowry, you got here to come help us off the bench, but we're going to put you into the starting lineup for the first time this weekend. Against Charlotte, things looked good. He and Tyrese Maxey could share the responsibilities, were sharing the ball, and who was running the offense. That helped. Lowry had 10 assists, 6 of them to Tyrese Maxey for his baskets. The team had 38 assists. on the night compared to just 7 turnovers. That's fancy stuff. Tobias Harris, I love this quote about Kyle Lowry from him, because this is the way I think of Kyle Lowry as well. He said, quote, man, like, you see some of those plays he made at the end of the game, like, those are the plays when he's on the other team that you hate the guy for. But, like, those are winning basketball type of plays. He was so, so great for us, too, Sos. And just calming the group down from time to time, getting to the set that we wanted and making sure he was organizing us. That was huge for us. And he was just setting off the ball screens, that type of thing. He had 15 points, 3 threes. That wasn't it, though. It was just running the offense. Okay, that's Charlotte that they beat. That's just big Charlotte. Deal. Let's see what they could do against Dallas on Sunday with Lowry in the starting lineup. Tyrese Maxey back to where he's from in Dallas, Mr. Texas Basketball, going out there. And he looked so good. And that first quarter was so fun. 17 points for him. Step back three, the floaters, crossover, getting to the rim. And then it was a little scary. It looked like Maxey suffered an injury. He fell and hit his head on Derrick Jones Jr.'s leg. So he was going immediately to the locker room. His dad was there. Medical staff from both teams both joined in the locker room. And after the Embiid injury, you start to think, what is going on here? But he recovered and returned, and he said, quote, I just slipped, probably moving too fast, thinking I'm Flash or something. So that was Maxey. He came back. Harris, Tobias Harris, he sealed the win with a minute left, 28 points for him. Lowry had 7 assists, 0 turnovers in this game. He did have a stinky night shooting the ball,
right.
But Philly didn't shoot it all that well from three at all. Mavs hit 5 more threes, but just turned it over a ton more, 17-8 for the Sixers, and that's where they won. So the Philadelphia 76ers are 6-8 since Embiid's injury, but 2-0 with Kyle Lowry in the starting lineup and Mo Bamba in the starting lineup as well. They're unbeaten. But Nick Nurse is trying out different things. Batum was a monster off this bench, and he was the closing center, in fact. Big steals and blocks from him in this game. And the Embiid injury, this is the mystery with the Philadelphia 76ers, where we are. Because they're just keeping it quiet, I guess, as they should be. But we're 3 weeks and 6 days from the day he underwent a procedure on his left meniscus. They call it procedure. Was it a surgery? They want to keep it under the name procedure for some reason. They said it would be 4 weeks when he would be reevaluated, so that's tomorrow. Mm. And a little update from this weekend. Joel Embiid has, quote, started on-court workouts and began lifting 100% of the weight he lifted prior to the injury. That from ESPN's Katie George.
Respect, okay. Respect.
Okay.
Back in so the weight room.
I guess
right
he's strong. Yeah. The Mavs on the other side, I don't know what's up. They're 1-4 over the last 5. Luka was amazing. 38, 11, and 10. That's good. That's very good. The 36th 30-point triple-double of his career. It's now the 4th most 30-point triple-doubles in the history of the NBA. You guys want to name the other ones? You want to get into
Wait,
the top
what is
five?
It? 30-point
triple-doubles.
Who's got the most of them?
Yeah, you can go 1-2-4-5. 1-2-3-5 if you want, because he is number 4, mm-hmm. just passing the number 5 guy, who you would know as a 30-point triple-double.
Well, LeBron
double
James has to be on the list.
LeBron is there, yeah. He's number 3.
How about Jokic?
No.
Not enough scoring.
No.
Yeah.
Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson's number 1 by far.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he just passed the other guy, number 5.
Harden?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Harden.
There you go.
Your
classic trip
points,
up guys.
Baby.
Just back to Philly for a second.
Yes.
I think one thing from the weekend that you're happy about if you're a Sixers fan is Tobias Harris finding his shot, finding his, you know, his scoring again, because he had not played all that well for the month of February, you know, so pre-All-Star, post-All-Star, but these two games, 31, like you said, against the Hornets, and then 28 against Dallas, shot the ball ridiculously well, hit 8 combined three-pointers over the weekend. That's obviously good. Did some work on the boards in that Charlotte Hornets game, so that's good, because he's, you know, he comes and goes, Tobias Harris. He can be a hell of a difference maker when he's the third or fourth guy, you know, when Embiid eventually is back, but he does have these stretches where he just can't hit a shot and sort of, like, looked lost a little bit, so that's good for them.
As long as he's aggressive and making quick decisions, and most importantly, shooting threes, like, that's the Tobias Harris you need. Yeah. That's why the Sixers were struggling to get over 100 points for a couple of weeks there, because Tobias Harris was just in pump fake mode and wanted to take 20-footers instead of 23-footers.
Yeah.
So when you stretch it out and knock him down and you're looking for your shot, that's exactly what the 76ers need from him.
Let me slip in a few honorable mentions for winners of the weekend. Jimmy Butler played his best game, I thought, of the season. Against the Jazz on Saturday. Again, the Heat are starting to turn it up here, as they always do in the second half, especially with Jimmy. The Nuggets, you know, tip my hat to them, my imaginary hat to them. They stayed undefeated since the All-Star break, just picking up W's. Michael Porter Jr. didn't miss in that game against the Lakers there. First player in NBA history to make at least 10 field goals and 5 three-pointers in a game without a miss. No one's ever done that, so now it's Michael Porter Jr. Okay. And then SGA, he decided to score over 31 points for a change against the Suns. And OKC is number one in the West. So again, some honorable mentions there. But I'm going to give mine to Malik Monk, who dropped a season-high 39 points in a statement overtime win against the Wolves. Kings are now the only team to beat Minnesota twice in mini, in their barn. So that is something there. And Monk, weird game. 4 points with just over 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. He finished, like I said, with 39. Game high. He had 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal, 33 minutes of action. He was hitting big shots in overtime. 16 of 29 from the floor, 5 of 8 from deep. Probably solidified himself as maybe the front runner for sixth man of the year with that performance. I get a lot of things wrong on this show when it comes to predictions, you know, teams, especially at the start of the year. We get a lot of things wrong. I'm guilty.
We all do.
One thing I did get right, and I went and checked to make sure. I said this on the show, right? It was our first show back in 2024, January 2nd, I believe. And I was looking at the odds for sixth man of the year. And Malik Monk had had a good game over that weekend. And I said, how the hell is Malik Monk plus 800 for sixth man of the year? We talked it out. And I sort of made the case like, you know, guys score a little bit more. Tim Hardaway Jr. Bogdanovich was sort of on a heater at the time. There was some love for Cole Anthony. Austin Reeves was way too high, I thought, in the odds. But I said, Monk, it's like his points are more impactful in a weird way in terms of the Kings' success. So I thought him at plus 800 was a hell of a steal, like maybe worth a little bit of a bet. He's the front runner now in the odds race. It's really him or Tim Hardaway Jr., I think, when you get into sixth man of the year. But he was just awesome in this game. And I will say for the Kings, you had the Suns losing, the Mavericks losing, the Warriors losing, and the Lakers losing. That's good for Sacramento. They jump back up into the sixth spot. But good stuff from Monk, who took over. There was no Fox in this game. He just, yep. You know, he just went Fox mode. And awesome stuff from him.
Well, so the Kings should try and work the matchups to their favor to try and play the Timberwolves.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And it's, I guess it's obviously in play that they could match up in a 1-8 or a 2-7 or something yeah. like that. But yeah, they seem to have their number a little bit.
I saw Malik Monk checks the odds as well. Even he in the postgame was like, I saw I was number one. Let's keep it that way, which probably will be the case.
He also said I should have won it last year, I think he said too. Finished fifth.
Yeah.
But I actually think he's looking pretty good.
Again, probably will. It's a weak crop this year.
It's a weak crop. Again, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. averages more.
Mavs fans hate seeing that guy play.
Yeah.
If he's not hitting threes, he's just not doing enough on the floor. And he's struggled recently.
Yeah, and like Powell is not having as good as year as he was the year before. Cole Anthony's out of this race. Reeves is out of this race. There's not a lot of other, like Bogdanovich is out of this race. Come on, we're not giving anything to the Hawks player. So yeah. I think Monk's gonna win.
You meant Boyan Bogdanovich.
Yeah, right.
Did you bet it?
No, don't ever bet. That's ridiculous. It's impossible to win. All right, let's do another batch of weekend winners. Who you got, Trey?
Slow weekend, but a good one for the Milwaukee Bucks. They're one of my winners. They beat the Bulls on Friday. It was their fifth straight win. Giannis went for 46, 16, and 6 on 16 of 22 shooting, 12 of 16 from the field. Became the Bucks' all-time leader in wins.
Hey!
Pretty impressive. That's a spicy one. We had Bobby Portis, Patrick Beverley, Vooch, DeRozan, Ayo Dosunmu getting into it, fighting with each other for a little bit. Vooch got ejected. That guy like never gets mad, except if it's at his own team. Nonetheless, as the prophecy foretold, the Bucks held the Bulls under 100 points. Just 97 for Chicago, the second team this season, Milwaukee is, to hold 4 straight opponents under 100. Yeah. They've got the Clippers tonight in Milwaukee. Clippers coming off a back-to-back where they just scored, 89 points?
In a win, yeah.
It's possible we get to number 5. Woo! Nonetheless, Bucks fifth in defense in Doc's 15 games as a head coach, literally just getting buy-in from the guys and telling them to run back because they're doing everything that Adrian Griffin was doing.
Yeah.
They're switching. Yeah. They just got Brook Lopez playing where he should be. It's just the guys want to play for Doc, and it seems to be working. More important, though, they're in second place in the Eastern Conference right now because the Cavs lost to the Knicks yesterday. Like I said, the Clippers play in Milwaukee tonight. Then the Bucks are going out on a West Coast road trip. They've got Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers, and Sacramento. This is a great measuring stick kind of week or a week and a half here for Milwaukee to see if they've actually improved, if Doc Rivers has fixed the team. It feels like they're pointing the right way. Mm-hmm. Giannis is incredible right now. If it wasn't for Jokic and Shea, he would easily be leading MVP discussions, I do believe. It would be between him and Luka, and the way that the Bucks' record is stacking up here, it would probably be Giannis. He's flying under the radar, I think, but they're looking good. He's looking like an absolute bully, and the Bucks look mean. Like, they were being mean to the Bulls. They were bullying them out there, and that they got a little chip on their shoulder right now after the way things went the first half of the season.
I'm really glad you brought up Giannis there. We're going to have two of the three following guys not even as MVP finalists, because, you know, they give us, like, the top three. Yeah. Giannis, Luka, and Tatum. Right? Two of those guys will not be a finalist. It's going to be Jokic, SGA, and then one of them. That's crazy with the seasons all three of those guys, Giannis, Luka, and Tatum, are having. So, yeah. I mean, the guy's 31-11-6. He's got defense. The team's obviously starting to rack up some W's here. He's still a highlight machine.
They're he's in LeBron wins. Mode right now, telling everybody how good he is at passing.
Underrated.
He's like, guess what? I'm the Bucks' all-time leader in assists. Did you know that?
Wow.
And he's throwing dimes. Like, he had a behind-the-head one against Chicago. He's probably got like 80% of his career highlight passes this season.
Yeah,
that's true. And they're playing hard for Doc, and respect to Joe Prunty in between Adrian Griffin and Doc Rivers.
Respect to Joe Prunty.
They're playing hard for him, man. the Doc Rivers thing, the record ain't all that great. It's not a number one type of team, but who cares when they're playing such hard defense? And a good Doc quote after, holding an opponent four straight games under 100. Only one other team has done it this season, as you said, Trey. And the Bucks, as a team, when historically they have been good, they haven't done that in six seasons, so it's a while. But Doc said, I don't really feel much different than when we started this road trip. We're still not where we need to be. So, they're focused. Although, as you said, the battle for two in the Eastern Conference is a good one. The Bucks do have a tough schedule the rest of the way, the second toughest schedule according to the strength of schedule. So that's important though, to see who will have it in the second round. If let's say the Bucks and Cavs were to come out of that first round, because we know the Celtics are.
All right, Tass, who else do you have as a winner?
Well, I'm going through a billion winners here. There's many to be had. I'm starting with DeJounte Murray, Atlanta Hawks. Not because they're better with DeJounte Murray and not Trae Young, but because DeJounte Murray, he made $500,000 because he hit his 125th three this season. That was in his contract. Here's an incentive.
I was wondering where this one was coming from.
Kudos to his agent.
$500K, sir.
Rich Paul.
That's right. He also he's got a great name.
He also can get $500 for being selected to an all-defensive team. That's not going to happen with the Atlanta Hawks.
Anyway, cashing this one.
Yeah.
Moving on, LeBron James, that guy can score. 40,000 points. He hit it this season. The first to ever do it, obviously. And cool little stat here from Ben Golliver, I thought. James has scored his first 10,000 points in the exact same number of games as it took him to get his last 10,000 points.
That's wild.
368. Guy scores a lot.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
40,000 regular season points.
Yes.
I don't know. Something about that irks me. Guy's got even more points.
Yeah, I mean, you factor in all-star games, the in-season tournament.
Oh, yeah. The lost game.
Play-in tournament.
Jeez. He's
played a lot of play-in games.
I can't believe that the discussion after this. I mean, it's natural with, obviously, sports talk, but it's like, who's going to be able to catch LeBron's 40,000 points? Will anyone be able to do it? The answer is probably not, but I guess like Luka, you obviously got to continue to score like 30 plus for 15 years, but
we don't need to talk about that.
I know. I just think it's funny.
And he's going to have another year, two, three scoring because he had 25 this year on average.
Yeah.
Like his first year was 20.9. That's way past that. Like he's going to score more, I think, than Michael Jordan did when he was 40. That was a flat 20. Maybe the three-pointers help.
So, yeah.
But yeah, he'll have 23, 24, 25, whatever he has next year. Speaking of scoring, an honor to Caitlin Clark, scored her 3,668th point to pass Pete Maravich for the most points in Division I history, men's or women's, the NCAA record, period. We'll see her next year in the WNBA. So cool stuff. She hugged Maya Moore after the game. And this was a number I found interesting for her. She was born on January 22nd, 2002. She's 22 years of age, and she wears number 22.
22.
Yeah, check the numbers. Numbers are fun.
Richie Beno loves it.
I'm going to fly through here some more. Ricky Rubio's back to playing basketball. He's playing for Barcelona. Retired from the NBA, but he's back on the floor
playing for Barcelona. Fallen in love again with the game, which is sort of cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Also, teams play defense now. The Clippers-Wolves game was 89-88 yesterday. Tyronn Lue said, that was an old school 1985 game. You don't hear people compare games to the 80s.
Specific year.
I'm giving this an honor because I think that's the oldest game in the history of basketball. compared to a game today, this game reminded me of 40 years ago, basically. There was a lot of physical play. And this is what Rudy Gobert said.
1985, teams averaged 110 points per game.
I was just going to say.
He's wrong.
Liar!
Yeah, that's what I was looking. What I was looking up. I was like, come on. You got to, if you're talking low scoring games, you got to go Spurs, Pistons, finals. You got to go to that era when that would have been like the highest scoring game in a finals matchup between those two teams, 89-88.
Right.
Not 85.
No, come on, Ty.
Come on. Michael Adams on the Nuggets was a problem. I don't know.
People forget Alex English was a bucket. I think they do.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Although people are analyzing right now that the stats, the numbers that people were, you know, claiming as inflated the last few months, this season, and how they're up, people are wondering, why are the stats coming down a little bit? They are coming down a little bit. Fouls are down a little bit. But regardless of that, teams do play defense today in 2024, and that's what was happening in this game. Rudy Gobert said, I thought there was a lot of touch and grabbing, just like a playoff game. So we will see some low scoring games in the playoffs, but maybe there has been a memo to the referees, allow some physicality potentially, because again, fouls are down the last few weeks, and there have been some great analyses out there of just strictly numbers, fouls, free throws each game. So yeah, the refs may be listening. Both teams shot under 39% in this game. Oof. This was just a terrible game. And the Wolves, just quickly, they're just bad. And we had it at the All-Star game. They're just bad in clutch situations. They're 7-11 in their last 18 clutch games. An offensive rating of 94.6, which is horrendous. John Krasinski breaking it down at The Athletic. They just have been bad. That's why they went and got Monte Morris to try and help things. Anyway, moving on from that. Amari Stoudemire inducted into the Ring of Honor in Phoenix. You're a winner of the weekend. Wow. Mika Kiprusoff, you got your jersey retired by the Calgary Flames.
What
you're a winner.
What the hell are these guys doing every sport?
Mika Kiprusoff, baby. That guy could play the goal.
He deserves it.
He deserves it, absolutely.
He was a goalie, huh?
He was a goalie.
Nice.
Yeah. He was good. Finished goalie. Chet Holmgren, also a winner. This kind of happened a couple days before Friday, but he is the first rookie in NBA history to have 100 blocks and 100 made threes ever. Now, it's going to be passed this week by Wembanyama. He'll get there. Okay. I mean, he'll also do it.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say he'll pass it. But Chet deserves a little honor, a little hat tip for being the first to ever do it. He's had a good season. He is shooting the ball from three better than Wembanyama is. There's that for sure. And they had a great win that we'll get to a little bit later.
What happened in the Breyer Cup?
What?
I don't know, man. You just took us through every sport. It was incredible.
We had some
women's hoops. We had some hockey.
You could kick yourself.
Yeah.
Mari Stoudemire wearing a cool hat. People were
You took us overseas. We were talking about Rubio. You were going everywhere. Yeah. I'm just curious. How does Labrador look in the Breyer Cup?
No love for Chris Silva's performance yesterday? How about
awesome.
Matas Buzelis showing out for the fellas?
Yeah, I didn't get into our College Park Skyhawks game, which was great. It was a fun game.
It was a fun game. It turned into a bit of a blowout at the end. When you see the final score, obviously the Skyhawks won pretty handily, but close for about 3.5 quarters, it felt like. We had our game. That Frazier guy caught fire for the Ignite, so it was keeping a minute.
Yeah, not Tim.
Not Tim Frazier.
Michael? I think it was Michael.
Yeah, he was a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many guys now are seconds. Eh?
Yeah.
We had Baker the second.
Yeah, that's why.
Frazier the second.
You bring up Tim Frazier and the NBA connection. I wanted to call Baker Ron Baker. Former New York Knicks player. You just can't help it. That's for sure. Although I could give Sharif Abdul-Rahim winner of the weekend.
There we go.
There we go, baby.
He was just inducted into the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame.
You know,
the president
biggest...
of the G League sitting beside us for a great interview during that game.
That Hall of Fame, it's the biggest Hall of Fame, I think, in the world. Like, size-wise. It's in Macon, Georgia.
Square footage?
Yeah, I think so. I read that.
Respect.
I was like, oh,
very
man.
Cool.
I didn't know that.
It's Ernie Johnson, I believe, is in it. Herschel Walker.
Sure.
I mean, tons of
How many
Georgia
years
athletes.
Of experience in Georgia do you need? Because we're at 11.
Oh, yeah, wow. I don't think we're making the Georgian Sports Hall.
We're going to set the record for number of podcasts produced in Georgia easily.
Great call.
That's a good point.
I mean, the thing is gigantic. They've got room for four more guys walking in.
They have a whole wing for us, man. I was like, yeah, come on in. But yeah, you're right. Sharif Abdul-Rahim was it was fun talking to him on the call.
was.
Great guy.
And I was looking at the photo of Sharif and all the other people who were inducted with him. I didn't know them.
No. Yeah,
there was many people.
I'm sure there's seven. A ton of college athletes. Yeah.
Dogs. A lot of dogs.
Go dogs! I got one more NBA weekend winner. And it's a bit of a wild card, like some of yours there. Trey Murphy, he had a podium game on Friday night. Scored 28 points off the bench. Hit 6 of 12 from deep. New Orleans crushed Indiana 129-102. He did basically everything right, except one thing. He finished 6 for 9, which is sort of nice, but not nice, at the free throw line. And that was not good enough for his mother. His mom crashed the post-game press conference and scolded him, like, multiple times, was grilling him. Trey, you know, what's going on? You went 6 for 9 in this game. He had missed some free throws in a couple of the previous games. She said, I once saw you hit 98 free throws straight. What's going on? Why are you missing? And it's a very funny exchange. He literally keeps going, next question, please. And then his mom keeps ribbing him. Next question, please. But, you know, she brought up a good point. She's asking the hard-hitting questions here, Mama Murphy. Because Trey Murphy, 90.5% at the free throw line last season. So he was basically automatic. Now, he doesn't shoot a ton of them, but still really good at the line. This year, 76.5%.
Wow.
Now, again, he does not go to the line frequently. So it only takes a couple of misses to really drop your percentage. But this is interesting from CBS Sports. Trey Murphy has already missed more free throws this season at 19 total than he did all of last season, where he only missed 18 total on 109 fewer attempts. That's pretty wild. So, I don't know. Mama Murphy's asking the right questions here. Trey said he's got to, like, just focus a little bit more and calm down a little bit and knock him down. But the good thing for him is he's starting to hit his threes. He's hit 17 three-pointers over the last 4 games. But got to hit it at the line, too. They win free throws, win games.
Maybe they gave him the wrong name. Maybe they should name him Free Throw Murphy instead of Trey Murphy.
That's what he should have said to his mom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's your fault, Mom. You named me Trey. I went 6 for 12 from deep. Pretty
FT.
Good.
Can you name me FT?
FT.
Something. Frank Thomas.
Yep. Was he inducted into the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame?
He
probably not.
He's
not from here.
Frank Thomas? I don't know. I bet he's from somewhere in the South.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
No idea.
We'll look that up. We'll
make sure to know.
Okay.
Big hurt.
We gave you a million NBA weekend winners, and not even just NBA winners. We gave you so many there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at a few.
Where's
he from? Wait.
He's from Columbus, Georgia. What? He's got to be in the Georgia Hall of Fame.
Thomas, put him in. All right. We'll be right back with NBA weekend losers. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Still here in the Classic Factory. Just to go back to something you said there in your ad read, JD. You said if you had an extra hour, you would want to get some dinks in. Mm-hmm. Talking about, obviously, some pickleball.
Secure your dinks.
Well,
secure your assets and your dinks.
All right. That's right. Yes.
I bring this up because there was a player yesterday on the Ignite.
Okay.
His name was Dink Pate. That's his name.
Dink Pate?
His name is Dink Pate.
Wow.
Very tall, 6'8 point guard. Looks like he's got some skills. Might be a future player in the NBA, but Dink.
He's got a future in pickleball, that's for
sure. I know,
sure.
That's what I was thinking.
His name, that's not a nickname, that's just Dink.
I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah, I'm that deep.
Yeah, I'm searching right now. It looks it's legitimate.
It's amazing. What a name, though.
Respect.
Yeah.
Guy's 17 years old, JD. He doesn't even turn 18 until next year. Or until, next week.
Yeah.
Playing professional basketball.
Wow. I mean, he still has time, then, to pivot to pickleball if he wants.
He's still young.
Still young. Or at least two-sport athlete. Go the route of Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Do a pickleball and NBA player.
Well, you're going to see Tyler Hero. He's going to go professional pickleball player.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He says he's better at pickleball than he is at basketball. That's what he says. That's what he says. There's a bunch of sickos in the NBA, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. NBA weekend losers. We'll do a round of this. Tass, you get us started. Who's your big loser from the weekend?
The Phoenix Suns, because they have laid some duds after the All-Star game. They lost to the Rockets this weekend, and they just kind of imploded themselves to a team that was fighting them a lot more. The Rockets came out in the first quarter, and the Phoenix was just sloppy. First quarter, 5 turnovers. Second quarter, 7 turnovers. And this Rockets team, they can get physical for Ime Udoka. It happened. And this was a back-to-back matchup, and third time in 9 days where they faced the Rockets. So it was getting a little physical. It was like a little playoffs. Jalen Green was defending Bradley Beal hard. He was just getting into him real hard. A funny play while Bradley Beal was inbounding and Jalen Green in front of him. Bradley Beal just kind of tapped Green's head with the basketball before inbounding. It was a little like Matt Barnes and Kobe Bryant kind of, in that back in the day. And then Beal pushed Green's neck with his hand and was ejected from the game. He shoved him. He was really getting into it. So Beal returned after being out 5 games with a hamstring injury, ejected. Same game, Devin Booker going back while guarding Fred VanVleet. He stepped and landed on his teammate Josh Okogie's foot, turned his ankle. He left the game with an ankle injury. Yusuf Nurkic, that guy doesn't like getting hit in the face, apparently. He got hit by his own teammate, Josh Okogie, again. He didn't mean to. It was an inverted block, and he had it reminded me of when Draymond Green punched him in the face, and so he hit the ground. He had a neck spasm. He left the game, although he did return in the next game. But all that to say, it just kind of pooped the bed against the Houston Rockets. Second loss in to Houston in 9 days. All right, so let's see if they can come back against OKC on Sunday. No Devin Booker in this one because of that ankle injury. Beal was back. He had a great game. 31 points. Nurkic was back. 31 rebounds.
That's a lot of roast beef.
That is a many, many boards.
Most beef this season.
Wow.
First guy since?
Dwight?
He was a teammate of Yusuf Nurkic, and I nearly said his name.
Not Jokic.
No.
Kevin Love?
Plumlee?
Ennis Freedom.
Oh,
2021. He might have still been Cantor at that time. Yeah. But Nurkic is going to go down in history as a great trivia question answer. He's got a 30 rebound game and a 5x5.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Maybe it happened Wilt Chamberlain era, but he might be the first modern guy to have both of those.
I think so.
Nonetheless, the Suns do get a loser.
They get a loser because Shea was amazing in this game, just watching. He was so magicianal. That's not a word, but I don't care. Shea, 35, 9 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks against this team. Now, it looked like Phoenix was kind of getting it together against this team, but it's just the way they lost to the Rockets specifically. The turnovers in that one, throwing skip passes when guys aren't even looking. They're 2-4 since the All-Star game. I had hopes for this team that they would figure it out a little bit. Now, a lot of those are good teams. They've lost OKC, obviously. Mavericks, that's fine. But 2 versus the Rockets, they're now 7th in standings, and they have the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA. 7th? Mm-hmm. In the Western Conference, it's surprising for the Phoenix Suns. And it's they can move up. Obviously, the standings are tight. They can move up to 5th, but they can also just keep dropping. So, bad weekend. Bad weekend for the Suns.
Yeah, I saw Zilla writing this morning in his newsletter that the Suns are 1-5 with 7 games remaining against the top 4 teams in the Western Conference. Thunder, Wolves, Nuggets, and Clippers. Mm. They're the worst of the bunch that are ranked 5th through 10th, right? The Kings actually have a very good record against the top 4 teams in the West at 8-5. But yeah, Suns 1-5. I mean, the Warriors are 2-12, so both of those teams have struggled. Mavs 3-8, Lakers 5-7. But Phoenix's final 10 games, I think Trey went through this a week or so ago. Phoenix plays at Denver, at OKC, at New Orleans, then they play the Cavs, the Wolves, the Pelicans, the Clippers, then they go play the Clippers again in their barn, and then they're in Sacramento and in Minnesota. Those are their final 10 games. What was the easiest team I said there? It's the Pelicans. yeah. a couple times. I mean, that's and not far from a given you're winning that. That is a that is a final tough 10. And, you know, and obviously still some tough opponents coming up here.
Yeah, that's not even to mention the Celtics a couple times, the Nuggets a couple times, the Wolves a couple times. Yeah, in total. Sometimes that strength of schedule is, you know, it's kind of up or down. But as you said, they're just bad against the really good teams.
Yes.
So that's a problem.
Well, that's what makes losses like the Rockets, losing twice to the Rockets. That's the real problem is that you've got to play all these tough games. And, like, you're happy to go 500 in those games when you're playing against other playoff contenders. You have to beat the teams you can beat to have your seeding be good. But I think more concerning is not ever having Beal, Booker, and Durant on the court together. I may have counted it wrong, but it looks like they're 14-8 when they all start together.
Right.
That's a quarter of the season. That's not really enough time to build chemistry. And if Booker's going to be missing any time here, extended, which I don't know. I mean, he was down for a little bit when he went down. That was a weird injury, though. Yeah. Like stepping on his teammate's foot, who also went down at the same time. A lot of friendly fire there, but it's going to kind of be rolling the balls out, playing pickup ball in the playoffs. They're good. Like, when all three of them are there, it's great because Beal just eats against four on threes, basically. But they all got to make it there.
Yeah, that's why it was frustrating to watch Bradley Beal come back for five games after missing them because of an injury and then get ejected. And because you need to play when you can play. And he has missed a lot of games this season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he is injured. And hopefully Devin Booker comes back for that team. But Josh Okogie, you know, he injured Nurkic. When you hear a spasm in a neck, that's a bad sign. But he obviously came back. Josh Okogie somehow tripped Devin Booker twice in the same game, injured his teammates. But either way, yeah, it does suck. And Devin Booker, I'm sure he's going to take a couple games off because amongst all those three, you know, he has been playing pretty hard.
Let's go to you, Trey. Who do you have for a loser of the weekend?
Well, I got Jalen Brunson as a loser of the weekend because that was a weird-looking injury yesterday against the Cavs. He apparently banged knees with Isaiah Hartenstein on a screen, then went up to take a jumper over Isaac Okoro. Both his legs kind of go flying, went down hard, and it looked bad. Couldn't walk off on his own power. It was a Chua and a trainer were helping him off the court. He stayed down on the floor for quite some time, but looks like the Knicks may have gotten lucky. They're calling it a knee contusion. Just a bruise from hitting knees with Hartenstein. X-rays were negative for any sort of structural damage, but he still only played 47 seconds against the Cavs, but all good. Deuce McBride played the next 47 minutes and 13 seconds. Wow. Zero subs for that guy. He's like, come off the bench. Just let me roll here. 16 points, 5 assists, 0 turnovers for McBride. That was really solid. Dante DiVincenzo stayed hot. 28 points, 6 threes for him. Josh Hart went for 13 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists for his third triple-double of the season. Hit a 3 in front of the Cavs bench and tapped on Donovan Mitchell's chest, said, "I like your chain." That's awesome. Bojan Bogdanović threw in 20 points. This was definitely a Tom Thibodeau, we've got enough to win kind of win. That was a big-time one for the Knicks over the Cavs. For their starters on the bench, but Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, and Mitchell Robinson, they all traveled to Cleveland.
Yeah. Nice.
The first two, the forwards, Randle and OG, they're getting really close to returning. I think they've both been cleared for basketball activities, and Randle has been getting hit with light pads. They're just like, they're just kind of tapping him up to make sure he's okay, which is great. So the Knicks have the Hawks on Tuesday, then they play Orlando on Friday, then they got Philadelphia Sunday and Tuesday. Brunson maybe sits one of these games, but he's been playing major minutes with all these guys banged up. They need his offense, obviously, but if they're able to get some forwards back in the next couple of weeks, that would be huge, and just lucky for the Knicks that it wasn't anything worse, because that looks really bad, the way Brunson went up.
It looked like he was injured while he was going up. Yeah. And for them to pull out that victory against the Cavs was pretty impressive, too. Like, despite, you know, he barely plays, doesn't play, really, the entire game, and then all these other guys out, and they still get it done 107-98. I was shocked by that result, after the injury to Brunson, of course.
It was a good win. Obviously, Brunson didn't suffer anything major. That's also a win in a crazy way, but he needs to rest a little bit.
Yeah.
It was extremely weird because he tried to walk through it, and as he was trying to walk through it, he kind of turned his ankle. Like he definitely went down on his left foot that he was trying to hobble on, so that was double strange. But that guy has nails, so he just tried to walk through it as he always does. And he was just kind of sitting there beyond the three-point line as they're running a play, and I had to signal, please don't step on me, and kind of move backwards. But
They were just playing all around him.
They were.
Well, sticking with unfortunate injuries, my NBA weekend loser, hands, fractured hands, to be specific, for two guys, Russell Westbrook and Scottie Barnes, both leaving action on Friday night because of injuries to their hands. Let's start with Russ. He fractured his left hand in the first half of an easy win against the Wizards. He was grabbing at it and flexing his left hand multiple times after trying to poke the ball out from Jordan Poole from behind. That's when it appears he hurt his hand. Like, his hand probably hit Jordan Poole's elbow, and that was enough. So he's going to miss some time here. You know, it's sort of, you get like these indefinitely with both of these guys and the hand injury. Bones Highland is going to get a bit of a chance. He got about 30 minutes of time over the weekend. Again, Friday versus Washington, then Sunday versus Minnesota. I can't say Bones Highland seized the opportunity from the jump. He shot a combined 1-for-10 across those two games. Though he did get 9 assists, but, Westbrook, we barely talked about him this year. But he's been pretty instrumental in, like, the Clippers' success. Like, have obviously coming off the bench gives you 11-5-4. You know Westbrook's always going to play hard as hell, and that's what you're looking for in bench guys. So we'll see how the Clippers fare here without him. He'll probably miss most of March. He fractured his other hand way back in the day and missed about a month of time. So that ballpark around that for Russ. So hopefully he doesn't miss the whole season is my point. But no. It still sucks.
No, and it's nice the Clippers are kind of deep because PJ Tucker has been playing since the trade deadline. Or since the All-Star game, I should say, after being a little dispute at the beginning of the season or the first half of the season. Bones Highland, they need him. But other guys are also just awesome. Norman Powell had a great game. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And Westbrook has kind of been struggling since the All-Star break. He's had the bad Russ month, basically. Yeah. Shooting 21% from three, only 40% from the field. He will be back for the playoffs.
Yeah.
The guy played with a dent in his face
back
in the day. Oh, yeah. I did like what Bones Highland said when they were asked him about it. He said, Busy's back.
Gotta stay ready.
I'd forgotten about that guy.
I know. Yeah. I know.
The Nuggets said, see you later. We're going to go win the championship.
That's a good point.
Right.
Also on Friday, Scottie Barnes suffered a fractured third metacarpal bone in his left hand, and he is out indefinitely as well. He injured it late in the first half when he smacked it against the rim on a potential block. Now that's that feels like a more common way to fracture your hand, hitting it off the rim, unlike Westbrook with just a poke from behind and catching an elbow. But will we see Scottie Barnes at all for the rest of the season is a bit of a cue here. There's going to be no rush really to get him back in the lineup. There's 6 weeks to go, 21 games left for the Raps. But it's a silver lining, but you'll get to see some more opportunity here for Grady Dick. Obagi will get the start there and see what they have from those guys. But, I mean, this guy is your starting power forward who's basically your point guard, really. And that's like two roles that now are open on this roster. Just sucks. Yeah, he's had an incredible year, Scottie Barnes, on a bad Raptors team. But he's out again. He might be up for the rest of the season. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they don't rush him back for the final 2 weeks for a potential play-in push, which they're pretty far back from.
Yeah, what's the biggest goal? Play in tournament or being the sixth worst team instead of the seventh worst team to be able to hold on to your draft pick? More likely, anyways, because it does come down to lottery balls. But now they're the seventh worst team, and it's unlikely they're going to be worse than the Memphis
Grizzlies. Yeah.
So it could just come down to lottery balls.
It's the third thing then. It's opportunity for these young guys and how they mesh and given more minutes and more run here with Scottie now out of the lineup, I think.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to see Emmanuel Quickley and Scottie Barnes work as the 1-2 because that's who should be the 1-2, but now it's RJ Barrett and Quickley working together. But that being said, it's just a trial run. That's what it is. Ochai Agbaji was cool to see him get up to get down. He's got some great throwdowns. A 6-for-20 game against the Charlotte Hornets, but I was entertained. He's just so good at back cutting all day. So if he could be a guy off the bench just back cutting and being extremely athletic, he has a future in the NBA. Definitely as a bench player. I don't think that's a question for me. And Grady Dick obviously is great. That shot form is just beautiful. Just watching him line it up.
Have you guys ever fractured your hand?
Great.
Anybody here? JD?
Broken fingers, but, yeah, not a full hand.
Not full cast or anything like that. Hand. Nah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Me neither.
Fractured my wrist and my arm 16 places, but not my hand.
Wow.
Not my hand.
And this was done how?
Ice skating.
Ice skating?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the guy fell on me. I fell backwards and I hyperextended my elbow or whatever.
Ah.
Yeah. It was bad.
But you were just skating. You weren't playing hockey.
Nope. Just skating in City Hall, Toronto, Nathan Phillips Square.
That's where it happened. Wow.
Yep. Can't believe we returned to the scene.
Yeah, were
prime.
You getting flashbacks when we were there back in the day doing a
racing?
Segment?
Don't 100%. Race.
I mean, I got hurt doing that.
Yeah.
trying to eke out my blade past Lee Ellis there. Like hyperextended my knee. I legit hurt myself there. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Ice skating. Don't do it.
No. Okay. So those, anyone else in consideration for NBA weekend losers? I feel like the Wolves maybe, you know,
absolutely.
Losing two. Yeah. In play, especially like down the clutch.
A couple of tough ones. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any other losers. I mean, I guess you could say the Lakers are minor losers because they keep having the Nuggets in town for all of their big event games and they keep losing them.
Yeah.
7-0 in their last seven against the Nuggets. Or the Nuggets, I guess, are 7-0.
That's wild because they were
beat them on Mamba night, beat them on LeBron's 40K night, and then obviously they had the Who's Your Daddy opening night, ring night.
Right.
So I think that the Lakers probably hate the Nuggets at this point.
Yeah, and that was an odd game because they were up 4 minutes left, but they could not execute down the stretch, and it was a strange coaching changes or decisions I think by Darvin Ham, but all in all. They just weren't executing. And why Anthony Davis wasn't guarding Jokic in that game, the entire game, just let it roll, baby. I think you should. Anyway, they went and got Henry Giles to help them out.
Harry
Giles? Harry Styles.
Yeah. You said Henry, right?
Yeah.
It's Harry Giles and Styles.
Yeah. So I think Henry. Anyways.
And, of course, Brian Giles for the Atlanta Braves back in the day.
He must be in the Hall of Fame.
He could be in the Georgia Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he must be. All right, we got to take one more break when we come back. Tweet of the night.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy. trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I got a bunch of candles. I'll bring some in for you.
Thank you.
We have a whole cabinet just full of them.
Yeah.
It's the best smelling cabinet in the house. But we have way too many. I don't know. I don't know what Nora's planning here. Maybe the power's going to go out or something. We got so many scented candles, which are nice. But you don't have a strong sense of smell?
I don't think so. I think I lost it when I got into my accident. But
wow.
It's there. It's there somewhere. But I think I was also losing it as I was just getting old.
Well, you used to always be sniffing your clothes.
Sometimes. I'm just sniffing my body more so. But also my clothes, yeah. I used to have a great nose. I think I still do. I think I just stopped breathing as I got old.
Oh.
I don't think it's necessarily my act. Just a...
You're more of a mouth breather, maybe.
The depth of breath. No, I'm not a mouth.
Like me.
Yeah. I'm just a shallow breather.
Oh, okay.
I consider smell my worst sense as well.
Mm. I think it's
hearing number one, sight number two, feel number three, ladies, number four, taste, and number five, smell.
It's your worst.
That's your anchor,
yeah. And then intuition. Maybe intuition is number six for me.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't think about it all the time, you know. My rankings. Can't wait for the rankings to drop every Monday.
The sense rankings.
Imagine John Schumann having to do a power rankings of his senses. What do you think Schumann would put?
Huh.
Ooh.
What's John Schumann's
number
best
one sense? I think it's sight, man. Sight is tough to beat.
He's got good eyes.
Yeah.
I think he
watches
does
a lot of basketball, looks at the screen a lot when he's calculating things.
Yeah.
We don't know if we don't think he wears contacts when he hoops and stuff. I don't think he
does. Don't
know. I'm not sure.
It's
I'm
just
not 100%
one of the great
sure
senses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me know what you got in your cabinet.
Yeah, I will.
Let
I'll take
know
a look.
Yeah.
I'll send you a photo.
Because I've got a cabinet that's full of mugs and water bottles, and I left one of mine at the College Park Skyhawks arena.
Oh,
I don't care.
You had a million.
I've got number one. I have a million.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna start doing that. Just dropping them off places.
That's a good idea.
Just clean it out.
I put a little note on the bottom of it for the person that finds it.
Drink away.
Drink away.
Drinks on me.
Oh, that's nice actually. I think my cabinets are full.
Oh, everybody's got a couple cabinets
jars
in their house,
man.
Jars.
Empty jars. They just multiply. I mean, they're coming off Bon Ma Man blueberry preserve. But it's like, I give away so many jars, and I'm just at a jar surplus at all times. So I got to start leaving them around, like Devin Booker with his shoes.
Yeah.
Free jar.
I struggle the most with mugs, coffee mugs. We have way too many for two people in our house. Like, way too many. But and I am the type of person, you guys know this, like, I'll get rid of anything. I don't have very little attachment to things. Like, I will, like, I like things to, you know, minimalism, I guess. But when it comes to mugs, I can't do it.
Can't
I'm like,
do it, man.
Look at this mug.
This is good.
Look at this mug. I love this mug.
It still holds.
And then I pick up
liquid
another one. Yeah. But funny timing. I just broke one by accident in the dishwasher the other day. So there was no
Thank
choice.
You for your service.
Yeah, exactly. See you later.
Oh, I know you got a power rankings of mugs. Everybody does.
Oh hell.
You got a top two.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a second tier.
Yeah. I got right now the Athletic mug is
That's
a great
a
mug,
one.
That black mug that Tess
one
has right now.
Hosting.
I love the New York Times mug, that red one.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's a bit of a smaller mug, but I don't mind that. I've got a Luna mug, of course.
Yeah.
We got the. Remember we had a thing with a bunch of our friends? They made a bunch of mugs with weird photos of our friends on them, and then we were passing them all around. I like those mugs. I think I got a Nate Angeles right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I still got Matt Austin doing the shocker.
Oh, you got an Austin mug. Nice
one. That's
good,
sick one.
Let's hear about your favorite mugs.
Yeah.
I love it.
Number
okay
one mug pick.
Let's do Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
This is a tweet from @TheHoopCentral. And it's one of those ones on Twitter that gets the people going. Which trio are you taking? And this pick is by way of ZG Visuals 1. And let me explain it for the podcast listeners. Here are your teams. You got Curry and Clay plus Shaq. You got Giannis and Dame plus Kobe. You got LeBron and AD plus Bird. And you got Jokic and Murray plus Michael Jordan. So again, you got the Warriors and Shaq, the Bucks with Kobe, the Lakers with Bird, or the Nuggets with MJ. Which trio are you
taking? Disrespect to the Boston Celtics here.
Oh, God.
They're not even making the graphic, and they're putting Larry Bird on the Lakers.
I know.
Ugh.
I know.
Tragedy. I actually thought about this for a long time, Skeet.
Good, good.
And then I was like, wait a second. Wait a second here. The best player in the league is getting the best player of all time. It's the Nuggets.
Yeah. I think that you imagine, Jokic and just running. Oh, with Murray. It's one thing with Murray. Imagine it was MJ running that stuff with Jokic. It'd be very difficult.
It's a good
so
call.
You're going Denver with MJ.
I like how in all four photos, the former player is in the background. Is not the first player, the primary.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you'd call him primary or secondary, but he's sort of in the back. Something that's not really done in social media until today. I've never seen this before.
What's your pick, man?
I'm excited. I'm just excited for the future of social media. Yeah, how can you not pick Michael Jordan in a Mile High City jersey? It feels super weird. That specific weird, jersey. But yeah, I guess you take Denver.
Oh, I mean, the Splash Brothers with a prime Shaq is quite a combo, too. Yeah, look, these are all amazing teams.
Yeah, they're good. Come on, pick one, man.
Well, just to be different, I do love Jokic with MJ, and then Jamal Murray, the greatest player to never make an All-Star game. But just to be different, yeah, give me the Splash Bros. I mean, I guess it's trio. I was going to say, you know, Draymond would be in the mix there. Draymond and Shaq as our bigs, but give me those guys. Good stuff from the Hoop Central. Man, people get fired up. You're right. First thing I thought, too, oh, wow, no Tatum and Jaylen Brown with, you know, whoever, whatever legend you want to give them.
Kareem,
sure. Yeah, flip it. I like that. Get a Lakers legend. Put him on Boston. You got Bird in an LA uniform. Looks weird.
Oh, it does look weird.
They all look weird.
I'm glad that Larry Bird never had to wear yellow.
Big Bird.
yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Canary mode.
All right, well, let's hear which trio you're taking there. Before we go, there's a new Is This Good? And the guest on the show with Matty O and JD, it's very own Jerome Chang. Yes, Jerome. Oh, looking like Larry Bird in a Lakers uniform there in that photo. Jerome talking with the guys about a bunch of things, including the coolest streets in the world. Why revolving doors are an underrated invention. I am interested to hear that conversation because I think I agree with it.
Doors?
Revolving doors.
Revolving doors, okay.
customer service chatbots. Cemetery picnics. You can see where that one's going. Some people think it's disrespectful to hang out in a cemetery. Mm. I know that's a big thing in the running community. Is it cool or not cool to run through a cemetery? Some people are like, why would, you know, people have no problem with it. Or people are like, come on, respect the dead.
Yeah.
So I assume picnics is next level, if that's what this topic's about.
I'm pro Frisbee.
Frisbee in the cemetery?
Yeah.
So you think almost anything goes in the cemetery?
Yeah, like pretty much. Unless there's a funeral happening.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm very much in the... Throw a rave in there. Like, just a music festival.
Rave.
Wow. They'd enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
They'd enjoy it.
Bored otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you doing?
It's a lot of space.
It's a lot of space.
Sure, for sure, but...
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that there's always fences around cemeteries?
Yeah.
You know why? People are just dying to get in.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it, I knew I've heard that before. All right. So speaking about dying, this light's dying, so maybe we should wrap this up. Good dad joke. Great dad joke there to end. Anyway, check out Jerome on Is This Good? I'll include that in the show notes. Otherwise, we're back tomorrow, here all week, 10 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube, and then flipping it into a podcast. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review, and we'll see you then. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, since I heard the people are dying to get in, I thought there was another version of it. I guess there is. Why is there a long line at the cemetery?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all average.
You want to be buried in the ground?
Oh, wow. I'm not ready for this.
Okay, thanks for that.
TrustInWill.com/NoDogs.
Uh-huh.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.